Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, and Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, Jesus is the God we serve. Yes, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What is the God we serve? One more time, sing. Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, Jesus is the God we serve. Yes, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the God we serve.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Connecticut Impact. There's these cards. I'm going to put it up on the bulletin board there just so that we can be reminded. It's Friday, May the 12th in Killingly High School, Putnam, Dayville, Connecticut. That's Friday in Putnam. And Saturday, May the 13th, that's going to be at Rogers Middle School in Danbury. Amen. So Connecticut Impact is our Connecticut district combined effort. I like to call it a Holy Ghost rally, but I guess they're not calling it that, but that's what I call it. Praise the Lord. So I've been taught on Sunday on receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've heard it said before, you get what you preach. Amen. Well, I'm going to teach about tonight speaking with tongues. Amen. Which is of the same subject, but you'll see it's a little different. There's explanation in Scripture on what tongues is used for. And I plan to teach on that tonight. If you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Begin there at verse number 1, and then we'll read on from there. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. There's much more on this subject, but before we go on, would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking again, Lord, for your anointing, God, to be upon our understanding. Your word is already anointed, Lord. It's we that need to comprehend it, Lord. It's we that need to have it in our heart, Lord, that we might know it and that we might be able to speak of it to others, Lord, and that we can show by your word, Lord, what this is, that your great name would be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Speaking with tongues. Many, there are those in our society that I've been told by some, you know, that's of the devil. Well, that's absolutely not true. It's in the Bible. I've experienced it. I've had, you know, there's some people that have told me, well, that you can't, that's not for today. Too late. I've already experienced it. It is for today. But our world thinks a lot of different things about speaking with tongues. But the Word of God has very specific instances. It explains it, in fact, what is happening when people speak with tongues. Different purposes at different times for particular things that God is doing. Amen. Let me continue to read there in Acts chapter 2. We just stopped at verse 4. I want to continue from verse 5 down to 18. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" There's people in our world that are going to be wondering that. What meaneth this? People are speaking, "What's going on over there?" That's been said in our church. And there is an answer. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Praise the Lord. So we see in the beginning of the New Testament church, in the book of Acts, and repeatedly in the New Testament, tongues is in the Bible. Amen. The use of tongues is also identified and explained in the Bible. The Bible gives us good reason and gives us understanding for speaking in tongues. The first thing I want to speak of is the initial sign or the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. I spoke on that on Sunday, but let me speak of it again just briefly at the beginning of this teaching. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. This is Bible study night. I got a whole list of scriptures that I'm going to make Andre do overtime on. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 28, verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak to this people." Old Testament prophecy about speaking in tongues. It came to pass in the New Testament. It was identified in the book of Acts. It is in the church today. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Amen. It's fulfillment of prophecy. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 48. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision," the Jews of course, "which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You may be surprised on who gets the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's for everybody. Amen. It's not just for, you know, somebody who's been raised in the church. You know, it's for them, but it's not just for them. Amen. It may be their first time ever in being in such an environment. It's for them too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew something was going on. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. He was a lot more bold, probably. Maybe I should be a little more bold. But he commanded them. You need to do it right now. How'd that go over, huh? Did you like how that felt? Need to be. If you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's time to be baptized tonight in cold water. Amen. Praise the Lord. He commanded them to be baptized. Acts chapter 19, reading from verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? There's a whole bunch of people in our world that have a relationship with God that have not yet received the Holy Ghost. This verse of scripture you need to hold on to. You keep this one right there in your pocket nearby. You need to remember it in your mind, because it's an example in scripture that God wants you to use. Amen. People that had a relationship with God, they need the Holy Ghost. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And he said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. For they heard, or when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. The same thing I pray happens now, happens today, happens here in our church. Amen. I want it just like they had it happen here. Praise the Lord. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. People need to be baptized. Receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. The initial sign and evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Number two, speaking in tongues is used among those who have experienced the Holy Ghost. We that are in the church, for edification of the believer, speaking with tongues. I don't know about you, during the worship service, we're about to sing our song, or we're praying. I spoke in tongues several times. Right here today in this service. And it was edifying to me because I was feeling the presence of God. It was helping me in my relationship with Him. It was a prayer between me and God. It helps me to be connected with Him. Amen. So that's one purpose, edification of the believer, speaking in tongues. And then there's another edification of the speaking in tongues used in the church. It's when it's for the edification of the church assembly, for the body, when accompanied by an interpretation. It's another significant use of speaking in tongues. And it's ordained by God. There's examples here in Scripture, and we're going to look at them today. A definition, the Bible defines tongues as languages. It's another language. Other tongues, see two basic kinds of tongues, or two different kinds of languages. Other tongues, a language the speaker has never learned or spoken as the Spirit gives the utterance. Other tongues. And then another tongue. To the speaker, it's another tongue to the speaker, but it could be understood if someone was present who spoke that particular language. What an awesome thing it is. I've heard awesome testimonies of people being convinced. The one, this isn't in my notes, but I like to speak of it. Brother Carter, who is the pastor in New Brunswick, Canada, was telling a testimony in one of our name conferences. He said at his church, at the end of the church, there was a man way in the back that was from the local tribe, and someone was receiving the Holy Ghost up in front in the altar call, and they were speaking in tongues. And as they were receiving the Holy Ghost, that man that was very significant and a leader and elder in the local tribe got out of his seat and came right up front and started. Something happened. And after he prayed, after that altar call was done, he said, I heard that man speak in Pinokit. Pinokit is a local tribe from Massachusetts. He was speaking in a native language that was not local to Canada. But that man understood it because he was familiar with the Indians in Massachusetts. And he knew what that person was saying and magnifying God. And he was convinced that person could not possibly know that language. It's impossible for that person who had never been to that area and doesn't know native language to know that language. And when that person heard that person magnify God and speak in another tongue, a tongue that they did not learn, they did not study, they did not know, that's the wonderful works of God. It's an example of God using His Spirit for His purpose. He wanted that man to be saved. And so he convinced him, amen, with that example. Praise the Lord. Another tongue. You see, unknown tongues is a type. This type is not understood by the man. It is speaking to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. When you are in your private prayer time or worship or your communion with God and you speak in tongues and that connection with God, that's between you and God. It lifts the believer up. Amen. And that's the purpose for it. See, both of these uses are supernatural as they are spoken, as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. Both of them are of God. Now, the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. You see, Jesus Christ had promised the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Praise the Lord. God wants to live in us. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. John 16, the next chapter, verses 7, beginning there to read down to the verse 13. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. O sin, because they believe me, believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Man, I am so glad that the Holy Ghost is going to figure it out. The Holy Ghost is going to help me figure it out. Amen. The Holy Ghost will help you know about God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." God's going to give us the Holy Ghost. It's his power that he wants to reside within us. Praise the Lord. You see, the promise of the Holy Ghost, what the Old Testament spoke of and what Jesus himself told of, was fulfilled when the New Testament church began. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Like I said on Sunday, that might as well just say Uncasville, Connecticut, right there. Got to give you witnessing power to know what to say and when to say it. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, just the next chapter, verse 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all," someone say all.
All
"filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm telling you, by the word of God, God wants every one of us, all of us, and more out there in the world to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. This isn't reserved for some. This is meant for everybody. Everybody that will be saved needs to have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Peter declared that the promised was to everybody. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 9. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God wants all of us to receive the Holy Ghost. For 39 just kind of just brings it right on where we are right now. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. From then to now, this is God's plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the only Bible evidence of the initial, the first, or the beginning infilling of the Holy Ghost, the sign is speaking with tongues. All New Testament believers in the entirety of the New Testament, they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Wasn't any other way that it happened. That's how it happened. Joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit, beatitudes, gifts of the Spirit. There was great joy in the city. Devils were being cast out. People were being healed, and yet the Holy Ghost didn't fall upon none of them in Samaria. None of them had the Holy Ghost. Great revivals happening, and none of them had the Holy Ghost. It's not a sign of the Holy Ghost if God healed my foot or God gave me a heart transplant. Both of them are just as easy to God. That's not a sign of the Holy Ghost. God does heal people. God heals every kind of ailment that has ever been known to man. God has healed it. But that's not a sign of the Holy Ghost. See, many argue that tongues was given on the day of Pentecost for the purpose of preaching to the other nationalities. True, God did use it in a supernatural way in that matter, in that instance. But that was not the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And then it named all those different countries and places. That was 11. There was a number. There was how many different places did it name? 17. Whew. Man, somebody counted them. Good job. But it was a lot of them anyway. They were from everywhere. God used it in a special way. But the preaching was done by Peter right there. It took preaching for people to be saved. They had to be told to repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, Peter had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16, verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He used the keys that God gave. He gave him under anointing of the Holy Ghost and understanding to preach that message on the day of Pentecost. The keys to heaven were released and loosed on earth. It changed our world. It's how people are saved today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those naysayers that say, well, it's only used to, you know, go to other countries and let them hear you speak in tongues so they hear the preaching. Well, then why do they go to language school when you become a missionary? Why even waste your time? Just go there and speak in tongues. No, that's not the purpose. That's not God's plan. It never said that. Quit skewing what the Bible says. It doesn't say that. It's how God is always going to do it. He's going to get a preacher to preach that message in every language on earth. Amen. It's going to take a preacher to preach that message everywhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, tongues is not the continuing evidence of the Holy Ghost. Some people would say that, you know, you need to speak in tongues every day. Well, I would say it would be good for you that in your prayer time and your communion with God, it would be good for you to speak in tongues every day. I believe almost every day I speak in tongues as I magnify God, as I worship Him and my private connectivity time with Him. It's normal. But you know what? If I get busy one day and I forget to pray and I didn't speak in tongues, that's a bad thing. But that don't mean I'm lost. That don't mean I backslid. You see, there is no biblical requirement that you speak in tongues on any scheduled basis. It's just not scriptural. You do have to speak in tongues. God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and there's use of tongues. And I'm going to teach you here in a little bit that we should all be praying to be used of God with the gift of tongues. I'm going to show you that in scripture. It's for every one of us. But there are other factors that will be present when we are walking in the Spirit. Being obedient to the teaching of the Bible. That's a part of living for God. Being or bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That's a part of living for God. Being faithful to God's cause in every way. Abiding in Christ. Adding to our experience necessary ingredients for spiritual stability. Every one of us needs to be growing, furthering our walk with God, me included. Amen. Every one of us. Praise the Lord. You see, there's another use of tongues. It's for the edification of the church and the assembly. One of the nine spiritual gifts, it is to be used as edification in the church and the body of Christ. It must be accompanied by another one of the nine spiritual gifts, the interpretation of tongues, tongues and interpretation. The interpretation may be given by the person speaking in tongues, or it may be given by a different person. It's scriptural. See, a believer is motivated by the Spirit, speaks in an unknown tongue audibly. The congregation quietly waits in reverence for God's Spirit, praying that God would be able to perform, or that He would perform His work of edification, exhortation, or comfort in the body of Christ. The same person sometimes and another person other times will give an interpretation. Both must be by the same Spirit. God gives the utterance. You see, without question, for the church, When ye come together in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 and 28, it's outlined there and how it's placed upon its proper use and exercise of speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. It gives us a rule, a guide, a instruction in the scriptures on how it's to be used. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 to 28. Let me read that. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by chorus, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Notice there's a, what do they call that, dot, comma, semicolon. And let him speak to himself, comma, and to God. It comes in by chorus, or by turn, in order, it'll seem right in the church. Three choruses, it says, is the maximum allowed, and in this example in Scripture, this instruction says most three. That doesn't necessarily mean three persons. A maximum of three courses of speaking with tongues. If there is or isn't an interpretation given, speaking in tongues audibly for an interpretation, then it should cease. Then one should speak to himself and to God quietly so the service can progress. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are three of the nine spiritual gifts that are identified in Scripture. But even the prophecy in tongues or the interpretation of tongues, it does not replace or supersede preaching. People are saved when they hear the preaching. Amen. Churches are not perfected, but they are edified by the spiritual gifts. God gave the ministry to perfect the saints. Amen. God had it all figured out. He gave us an instruction book. I'm so happy for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Get this now. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So when the pastor is preaching or the evangelist is we're having a revival service, or you know, there's a special speaker, or you know, one of our teachers are explaining scripture, that's that God may help us. Amen. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, the control of the service should be in the hands of the pastor or the person that's in charge of that service. If the pastor is in charge or if the evangelist is preaching, the Lord is going to lead that minister to guide that service. Amen. Tongues plus interpretation, that equals prophecy. When you hear tongues and there is an interpretation, that's God telling you of something that has not happened yet. Something that is being prophesied to the body of Christ. God chose tongues and their interpretation as a sign to the unbeliever. That guy in the back of the church, that New Pokanoket, when he heard that person speak in that language up front in the altar call, that was a sign to him. This is God. God is in this place. He had no doubt. It cleared out all the questions in his mind. This would be impossible except God. God does that. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Amen. It blesses both. Tongues or prophecy are for the edification, exhortation, or comfort. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. It tells us with purpose of what it's going to be used for. Spiritual gifts are not given to the church to conduct business affairs, to purchase or not purchase a property, or to build or not to build a building, or to instruct others to give so much money, or to pronounce judgment on an individual, or to direct somebody's marriage, or to accept or reject some person, or any of the other many things that that's not the purpose of the tongues and interpretation. If it's anything except edification, exhortation, or comfort, it's not of God. Because God always keeps his word. Amen. It will always follow God's instructions. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. Anybody want more of God? Anybody want more that God? God, you got any more for me? Raise my hand. I want it. God, I want it. Amen. Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edifying, to the edifying of the church. Pray that God would use you to bless someone else in the church. We should all be praying that. You should be praying that now for the service on Sunday. You should be praying that now for the Connecticut Impact Service. You should be praying it now that God would use me to be a blessing, to edify, to bless the house of God. You see, 1 Corinthians 14, 12. I just read that. Great stress is on peace, decency, and order. Let me show you this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, and also verse number 40, it says, for God is not the author of confusion. You know, that was even said to me on Sunday. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse 40, jumping down, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, when God is in it, it will flow to the point there'll be a audible tongues that is different. There may be 25 different people speaking in tongues all over the place, and some in the back and the front and the side. There may be a bunch of different people speaking in tongues, but you'll know because it will be identified by God as his spiritual intervention in that service. And then the interpretation, you'll know it's of God. Man, there'll be goosebumps. For me, man, I can feel the presence of God just flowing in that place. It'll be right, it'll be in order, and you will know it's from God. Anything. Gifts of the Spirit, preaching, singing, testifying, playing, instruments, hand clapping, receiving offerings, dancing in the Spirit, entering or leaving the building, must be done with this guideline. Everything must be done in decently and in order. If it's distracting from what God is doing, in fact, I had mentioned it to someone here in our church just recently, God wants us to focus on what he's doing and what's going on. So when prayer request time comes, focus on that. When offering time comes, when announcement time comes, focus on that. Because God wants to use it for a purpose in the body. When the song leaders encouraging worship by a particular song that they're singing, focus on that. Join in the moving of the presence of God in that moment. Amen. And those things that are distracting, put that aside. I don't want to focus on the distractions. That's somebody's not sensitive to the Spirit, so they're up doing something that they probably shouldn't be doing, and something's going on over. You know, I don't even want to pay attention to that. I want to focus on what God is doing. Everything needs to be done in order in the house of God. Note the following facts concerning the believers and speaking with an unknown tongue. They are speaking unto God. No man understandeth him. In the spirit he speaketh mysteries. He's edifying himself. Should pray that he may be able to interpret. Secondarily to prophecy, unless there's an interpretation. And it is a sign to the unbeliever. What's going on over there? That's God pouring out his Spirit. They're speaking in tongues just like they did in the Bible. Speaking in tongues is always going to be for the edification of the believer. An individual is used by the Spirit in these gifts is a blessed individual. However, they are not to edify individuals only. It's not to make that person exalted. That's ridiculous. Just get that thought out of your mind, okay? It's not about that. It's to edify the church, the body of Christ. And if there is no interpretation, the speaker is to speak to himself and to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. I'll tell you what, God wants to use people in this church. God wants to use you to edify the body of Christ. Amen. Pray. Ask God for his help. See, the gift of speaking with tongues, when there is no interpretation, that's for personal edification. But when there's tongues and interpretation, it edifies the whole body. Speaking in tongues is, yes, it's used in prayer. We pray in tongues. Come on Monday night, there's people all over the different places in the sanctuary, and many of them will be speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. One is speaking directly to God. Communication, communion, closeness, intimacy with God. People pray in tongues. It's an awesome thing. You can pray and sing in tongues. Praise the Lord. The inward man is renewed and blessed. Amen. When that happens. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Man, it's used to edify the individual and the church. It's used in thanksgiving. A saint can be a blessing, something or someone. You see, this is a form of praising God and offering thanksgiving in an unknown tongue, both publicly and privately. There's times that I just speak in tongues because I got no better way to get it out. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:16-18. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. So it's not that he's downing speaking in tongues. In fact, he thanks God that he spoke with tongues so much. You see, all three of these types may be exercised in public and in private. If in public service, the type and the order of the service will dictate whether our praying, singing, or giving thanks in tongues should be done audible or to ourselves and God. If it would be disruptive or stop the progression of the service, we should be between you and God. Amen. Or keep silence. 1 Corinthians 14:19-28. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice, or that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Probably wouldn't have done a whole lot of good if I'd come up here and just spoke in tongues about teaching in tongues for 45 minutes. You'd all be thinking, wow, he speaks in tongues a lot. But you probably wouldn't have learned a whole bunch. So therefore, I'm using the language that I know to talk to you about speaking in tongues that is used by God. Okay, stand with me. I'm concluding right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. And 1 Corinthians 14:32, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's not a contradiction. God gives the pastor or the evangelist or the speaker or the teacher, the one that's in charge of that service, that God has placed the order of that service under his authority to do that ministry on that particular moment. See, God is going to lead that person. The flowing of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. It's in order. Praise God. Speaking in tongues is God's method of controlling and using for his glory the most unruly member of the body, our tongue. Would you love him with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the great gift, Lord, that you've given unto us, Lord, that you, by your great power and wisdom, Lord, have established, Lord, the speaking in tongues in the body of Christ, the initial evidence, the edifying of the body, Lord, for the purposes of the church, Lord. Thank you for it, Jesus, what you've done, what you're doing, Lord, in us. Help us, Lord, to seek after your will, your way, Lord. And Lord, we give you praise for it all. In Jesus' precious name, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. See you on Sunday. I'll see some of you on Saturday if you're going to come to the work day. God bless you.
I do think we still need some help in the back to put up tables and that. Although I did hear some things back there. They might have it done already, but if you would check, I'd appreciate it.